Our reading tonight can be found in Blue Church Bibles on 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 to 13. And this can be found on page 1192 of our Blue Church Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 8. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. This is the word of our Lord.
Thank you, Claudia. Let's bow our heads in prayer. We thank you, Father, once again for the reading of your word. We thank you that your word has been preserved to us throughout all these ages, throughout all these generations, and that today we're able to hold your word in our hands and to hear your word spoken to us. We pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, would we understand these words today? Would we learn to apply these to ourselves here at Christ Church Banstead? But we do remember those who would love to be able to hold your word as we do, would love to be able to hear it read publicly, but yet they cannot because of the oppression of government. We pray, would you bless, would you encourage such today, especially on this, the Lord's Day. We ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do keep your Bibles open at that place as we consider these few verses. For the benefit of those who weren't with us last week, we're in a mini-series looking at the New Testament church, and in particular last week and this week we're looking at two of the offices that are shared and presented to us in Scripture. I've shared publicly on a number of occasions recently that as an oversight team we have been reviewing the current structure of the team within our local church, and we've approached this review, if you like. We've approached it on the basis of what does Scripture say? Let's go back to the Word, so that all that we do and all that we, or any changes that are proposed are centered on God's Word. What is He saying? What has He said? And what is He saying today for the benefit of the local church? As I mentioned last week, I say it again, this is not about pragmatism. And what is the most convenient for us as a local church practically? This is about what does God's word say? And we're not through that process yet with the oversight team, but it's right that we preach through these offices. So last week I considered the role of the elders. And before I go any further, I want to just respond to some good feedback that I've received from last week's sermon. I preached from the first seven verses last week, but there are other scriptures that we can go to which help us to understand the role of the elder and the function of the elder in the local church. I just preached from this passage in 1 Timothy 3, dealing with the appointment of elders. And the reason I share this today is just to clarify that from last week. This is not the one and only place that we consider the role and the function of elders. Similarly, When I'm speaking about deacons today from these next few verses, it's not the only place in Scripture that we can go to. There's a number of Scriptures that we can draw on which help us when we put them together, which help us to understand what God has designed and ordained. The second piece of feedback relates to the second quality of an elder, being faithful to his wife. And I don't think I was clear enough on this point last week. I believe that because this is talking about faithfulness and fidelity in marriage, this does not mean that an elder must be married in order to be an elder. If an elder is married, then he must be faithful to his wife. That's what the passage is telling us. Again, there's a similar connection with the verses that we should be considering this evening. This, of course, means that a single man, with the qualities we identified last week in these verses, could serve the Lord, could serve this local church as an elder, as prompted and confirmed by the Lord. I felt it was right that I just clarify those two points from last week's passage. Hopefully there won't be too many clarifications from this week's passage. If so, I'm not here next week, so it'll be down to Andrew to correct them. But today we're looking at the role of the deacons, and I've titled the sermon, Deacons, Respected Servants. Next week, Andrew will look at the role of church members. Now, in this passage that Claudia has read for us from verse 8 to verse 13, there's a lot of similarity with the qualities seen here in this role of deacons, a lot of similarity to what we considered last week with the elders. But the structure of the passage is slightly different, and that's mainly because this section deals with the wives of deacons or female deacons, and we shall come back to that a little bit later. But firstly, the character of a deacon. The one thing I want to emphasize here from this passage as we look at the passage before us is the similar language that we had last week, in that this list is less about qualifications, it's more about qualities. It's about the character of an individual. It's about the character of a deacon serving in the local church. The word deacon comes from the Greek word diakonos, and it simply means servant. The verb form is used to serve. But the diakonos, the deacon, is one who waits on tables, or one who runs errands, one who meets the needs within the local church. One who, and as we see from the establishment of the deacons in chapter 6 of Acts, one who supports and helps the work of the eldership. But Paul doesn't suggest for one moment, and we need to see this from these verses that we've read this evening, Paul doesn't suggest for one moment that this is a lesser thing. Oh, it's only waiting at tables. It's only serving. It's only doing the teas and coffees. It's only doing this, that, or the other within the life of the church. Because Paul opens this section in verse 8. He says, in the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect. So there's a level of dignity about serving in this way. As I say, this is not just the fact of serving, because the truth is, every single one of us, as serving members of this local church, should be serving in some way or some form in this local church. But what Paul's speaking about here is the deacons, those who are appointed in such a position, are to be worthy of respect. There's a dignity about the way that they serve. Going on in this section, also in the same way as elders, deacons are to be sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. Very similar qualities to what we saw last week with the elders. And I think all very understandable to us as we consider this list that Paul presents for us. But before any of you wrongly jump to the conclusion that the role of the deacon is not about word ministry, it's just about serving, it's just about doing, Take a look at the interesting quality in verse 9. Verse 9, it says, the deacons must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. You know, the history around the establishing of the role of deacons, as I've already mentioned in Acts chapter 6, shows us that Stephen was clearly a man of the word. When the situation arose, he was able to boldly declare the word of God. Of course, it got him into a spot of bother, we might say, with those that were listening. They were deeply convicted by what he was saying, and it resulted in his martyrdom. Now, I'm not saying that to put you off being serving as deacons in this local church, but that was the context, that was the situation in the early church when this role was first established by the apostles. But the point that I'm trying to make in that is that Stephen was rooted and established in the Word of God. This was not just about, to use the expression from Acts 6, this was not just about waiting at tables. This was not just about counting money. This was not just about pouring the teas and coffees. This was not just about stacking the Bibles up at the end of the day. This was not just about doing the hoovering. You name anything you can possibly imagine in the life of the church that needs to be done. It's not about that. There's a clear indication in these verses that we've read in 1 Timothy 3 that it's to be that role and the individual, the qualities of the individual, is to be rooted in God's word. For Stephen, the word of God was precious to him. He held on to the deep truths. To use the language of 1 Timothy 3 here, he held on to the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. So someone who treats God's word casually and who has scant regard for the precious truths of the faith, regardless of how well they might serve in the local church, such a person you'd not expect to see on the diaconate. Verse 10 goes on to tell us that the qualities seen in an individual are to be tested and proved. And if there's no negative report against them and against their character and the qualities that they demonstrate as they serve, then let them serve as deacons. Let them serve in an official capacity as deacons. A formal capacity, we might say, to support the elders in the running of the local church. The second point for us to consider is the household of deacons. Again, you'll notice that this is very similar to the role of the elders that we considered last week. The testing ground for the deacon, the first testing ground, I should say, for the deacon, is their household. Faithfulness to their spouse. Managing their children well, managing the whole household well. The previous section that we considered last Sunday evening is more explicit. It said there in verse 5, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? I think the principle of that we had last week in verse 5 can be applied here because of what Paul says in this verse 12. I think what this shows us is that character is most reliably seen in the home. You know, it's very easy, isn't it, when we come to church to put on a face, to put on that goodness and to demonstrate all the beautiful qualities of a faithful servant of the Lord. But you walk through that front door at home and everything's going to chaos and the dinner's burning and the kids are screaming and chasing around the place and there's a leak in the toilet and everything's happened and your character becomes tested then. Do you then fly off the handle and shout at the children and get frustrated with your wife? And I'm just trying to contextualize this here. Is that where you go to? Because that would demonstrate what your character is. And what Paul is reinforcing in these few verses that we're considering this evening is that the true character of an individual is seen first in the home. I think verse 10 also reminds us that character is then seen and tested in the local church before they're appointed to be a deacon. But its first testing place is in the home. It's in the home where people know you best, warts and all, isn't it? It's very difficult to put on that face that you might be tempted to put on when you come into church. There's a whole different sermon that deals with that aspect, that we shouldn't be putting on a face when we come into church, of course. But let's be real about this. And so Paul says, see what they're like in the home. See how they manage their families. See how they interact with their children. See what relationship they have with their children. See something of the character of the individual there in the home. And as Paul goes on to verse 13, the last verse of the section that we read, I think Paul says in that section that faithful, unseen ministry and service seen first in the home and then tested in the local church is a dignified thing. This links right back to verse 8 where we began. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect. What he's speaking about in verse 13 at the end of this section is that dignified character of service. It's a role of dignity or good standing, to use the phrase in this passage. Now, the eagle-eyed among you will notice that I've missed out a verse. This is not because I want to avoid difficult passages, so let me come to this now. Paul addresses the situation in relation to women. Much ink has been spilt on this one verse over the generations, over the centuries, and how it should be interpreted, how it should be put into practice. Now, personally, I've done much study on this over the years, on this particular matter. And please forgive me, because it's very, very difficult to condense that study into a 3 or 4 minute exegesis on one verse in a passage that we're considering. But it's right that we consider this. And what does God's word say in relation to this particular verse? So I'm going to present the options to you and what I believe this means for us. Some translate verse 11 as referring to deacons' wives. The wives of deacons are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. Others translate it as referring to female deacons. So female deacons are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. It's a little bit like I don't know if there are any German scholars or German speakers here amongst us, but it's a little bit like the German word die Frau, which can be translated as the woman or the wife. How do we translate this? How do we take this one verse in verse 11? How do we fit it into the context of all that Paul is saying in this whole section of chapter 3 of 1 Timothy? How do we fit it into the context of the Bible as a whole? I believe that verse 11 is referring to female deacons. I believe this passage suggests to us that women who have the qualities that we've been considering last week and this evening and are able to serve in the local church as deacons. Now, I invite you, I would love to be able to go into the full detail of how I've arrived at that decision, and I'd invite you to have conversations with me later later this evening or later on in the week and so on. But simply looking at the structure and the setting of this passage, and looking at other references in Scripture, references to Phoebe, the deaconess, I believe that an accurate and good translation and understanding of verse 11 in 1 Timothy 3 means that women who are gifted in a particular way, who demonstrate the qualities that we've been considering, who are recognized by the local church and the leadership of the local church, I believe such women are able to serve as deacons in the local church. A little bit more of that in just a moment. But first, let's come to the application. First point is very similar. In fact, is the same as last week. Let us remember to focus on the right things. This is less about qualifications and more about qualities. Less about doing, more about being. It's less about action, it's more about attitude of heart. These lists are not presented in 1 Timothy 3, both for the elders and for the deacons. They are not presented as tick lists. Has this individual done this, 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 and this, and tick the boxes to say that you've done these things and that you have the certificate to show that you've demonstrated these things? The emphasis, I believe, that Paul is drawing our attention to as we consider these verses, the emphasis is on our character, who we are in Christ, and the way that Christ has formed our character. And so the way that we serve, to use the role of the deacon that we're considering tonight, the way that we serve, not exactly what we do, and the job description of what a particular deacon might do in functionally in the local church. But how do they do it? How do they serve? Shaq reminded us as we prayed before the service, Shaq reminded us, he took us to Mark 10 and those beautiful words there, where Jesus exemplifies what service really is. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. How did he serve? By laying his life down as a ransom for many, as a ransom for you and for me. That's the character of service. That's the length to which Jesus served. And so what we're talking about and what we're considering here is the character of the individual. And how they serve, and how they love the Lord, and how they demonstrate their faith, their deep faith in their love of the deep truths of our faith. And as I mentioned last week, I say it again, that whilst in these verses tonight we're considering the character of a deacon is essential. And we can't just say, oh, he serves that way, she serves that way, let's give them the role of the deacon. Because their character is essential to what we're talking about in this section here. But actually, some of the qualities that are seen and listed in these two lists here should mark most of us in the local church. As faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus, as followers of him, we should be worthy of respect. We should be sincere, not indulging in much wine. We shouldn't be pursuing dishonest gain, and so on and so on. I repeat again what I said last week. Too often we focus on what we can do or achieve. Yet God is more interested in who we are. He's more interested in our character. He's more interested in seeing us shaped and formed to be more like the Lord Jesus. That's what God's looking for. God's not looking for the fact that we can preach X number of sermons. He's not looking for the fact that we can play and strum through X number of songs in a worship set. Sorry, I used the word, Chris. He's not interested in the quality of our coffee. He's not interested in any of the things that we do. The actions that we take, he's interested in that character being more like Jesus. And so as we consider these qualities in this section, these two sections in chapter 3, as we consider these qualities, we have to look to Jesus. And we see them exemplified in him. Personified even in him. And so there's a need for us to keep our focus on what is important here, what is essential here. The character, the quality of an individual rather than their qualifications. And that's good for every single one of us as disciples of the Lord Jesus, as serving members in this local church, but especially for the elders, as we considered last week, for the deacons, as we're considering today. The second point that we need to consider with this, we need to consider the wider issues. What do I mean by that? As I said at the beginning, this is just one passage that deals with the role, the function of the elder. Just one passage that helps us to understand church polity, church government, and the structure of the local church. There are others that we can draw on. There are others that we need to go to consider as we look at this wider situation. Currently, the way our constitution is set up, it's set up in a way that the elders and the deacons have equal authority. I don't believe that truly reflects what Scripture presents to us in these and other passages. So before I have a queue of people at my office door tomorrow morning suggesting who our female deacons might be, we need to do some more work as an oversight team. We need to do some more work on this to establish the best way forward, the best basis in which to fulfill what God's word says that we've been considering over these last 2 weeks. I would love to see women who demonstrate the qualities that we've seen in this passage, who have been tested, who have been recognized by the church congregation, by the church leadership. I would love to see such serve in a formal capacity as deacons in this local church. But there's some work to do first in order to get there. I want to remind you of what I've said over these last couple of weeks. Our whole reasoning, our whole focus for looking at the structure of the oversight team is, what does God's word say? And now let's apply that in the best way possible for the benefit, for the good, for the building up of this local church in this place. Forget pragmatism. Forget being practical. Forget being sensible in that sense. And don't worry, I'm not throwing things overboard here. But let's be governed by God's word. And let's put things into practice in the best and most sensible way to serve this local church now and for however many generations until Jesus returns. I have another postscript for this sermon this week. Following an oversight team meeting on Monday, following many conversations, following much prayer, but following the oversight team meeting on Monday, we are going to consider two candidate elders. The title before has been in this church has been used, I think, observing elders. The title doesn't matter. The principle is that there's a testing period over these next few months. Testing for the individuals, that is this right for them, for their families, for their current situation? Testing for the leadership, that is this right moving forward? Are these individuals the right fit, the right mix, the right character and qualities that we've seen in this passage? But a period of testing for the whole church as well. And so I'm able to announce to you tonight that Tim Shelley and Andrew Evans will join the eldership as candidate elders. And my request to you is, would you pray for them? And would you pray for us as elders? As we consider this over the coming months, as we study God's word together, of what the role of elder looks like in practicality and function, As we consider the qualities of these two men, and trust me, we've considered that already, but we go on testing, we go on considering. And we seek God's will in that process. But we need your prayers. We need your input. We need your feedback. And this is all part of the process that we're looking at to move the church forward in a positive way. So that the church, so that this local church here at Christ Church Banstead, so that this local church might be built up. The role and the function of the elders is to oversee the spiritual aspect of this church, the spiritual leadership of this church. And my desire is not that we just grow the church bigger. Let's get bigger. Let's do that extension, 50% more in this room. I'd love to see that, of course. I'd love to see people saved in this community such that the church grows like that. But my heart isn't just to build bigger and larger things, to build bigger and larger barns. My heart is to see the gospel go forward in this community. My heart is to see a group of people sent out in the next 3, 4, 5 years as God orders, as God wills, to plant another gospel community, to share the gospel with people. And the church continues to grow under the leadership of the elders. And so we send out another group in maybe 8, 9, 10 years' time, whatever it may be, all subject to the will of God. But as we look forward to that, as we trust God for what he is going to do in this place, we need to consider the personnel. We need to consider who he is calling to lead this local church. And so this process over the next few months will be a testing process, a two-way process in that sense, but a testing process to see what is God saying? How is he leading us? And I covet your prayers for that. And I know Andrew and Tim would covet your prayers as well, for wisdom, for discernment, and for God's will to be known and done. So please pray, church. Let me do that right now. Father, we thank you for the long witness and the long legacy that this local church has of being a beacon, an outpost where the light of Christ has shone. Our longing, our desire is that that light might continue to shine from this place. That the glorious, deep truths of the gospel might be held dear to each one here in this place, especially to the elders and the deacons, but to each one in this place. And that as holding the deep truths of our faith in the gospel close to us, may all that we do and say be shaped by your word, O God. Our heart, our desire is to do your will in all things. We do pray for Andrew and for Tim. We pray for the rest of the eldership team. Would you lead us? Would you guide us in these coming months? So that even in this detail, we might do your will. But Father, we're trusting you. This is the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This body of believers which has been purchased by his own precious blood. We pray, may each one of us serve faithfully in whatever capacity you've called us to. Whether it be deacons, whether it be elders, whether it be ministry leaders, whether it be serving members. May we serve in the way that Christ first served us. We ask this in his precious, peerless name. Amen. 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 As the band come up, would you stand? And we're going to sing a couple of songs to close our time together. Lord of